The text that calls for our attention this Palm Sunday is our gospel account from St. John, which gives us that triumphal entry account, especially these words. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've watched any amount of news lately, you've probably seen at least snippets of many political rallies. When you watch them on TV, the sight can be quite amazing. There are hundreds, if not thousands, cheering, signs waving, stage covered in red, white, and blue, banners on every wall, and American flags everywhere you look. The political operatives come out to the microphone and get the crowd good and wound up, and then announce that the candidate has arrived. The crowd goes wild, chanting in unison their praise for their chosen candidate. And why is it that these people cheer so loudly? Well, it's because ultimately they believe that their candidate will bring salvation. Oh, not salvation from sin, but from salvation from whatever things they feel are most dire in our society. Whether they are people that believe that the greatest threats are things like global warming, or whether they think the greatest threats are things like Islamic terrorists, the people gathered believe that their candidate is indeed the answer to all the ills of society. Why they're known to chant things like, "Yes, we can," or "Yes, we will." But there's one problem with political rallies. They're often filled with all sorts of promises. And while promises are great at lifting the spirit, there's something that we've all learned as we've watched just a few political rallies. Promises made do not always turn into promises kept. Yes, no matter who you're going to vote for in November, I'll guarantee you this right now. Some of the promises made by that candidate will never be kept either. When we think about the Palm Sunday account that we find in our gospel lesson, we can see much that is in common with the political rallies of our day. In fact, it probably had a lot of the same kind of feel. There were no doubt the crowds that were gathered around, and the crowds were very wound up. After all, half of them had just seen Jesus raise Lazarus out of the tomb, and the other half were hearing this great report. So coats were thrown down on the ground as a cover, and everybody grabbed a palm branch. But you see, unlike our political rallies, they didn't have pre-printed signs to hold up in their day. But they did have those palm branches all around. And those palm branches had become very much a national symbol of freedom. They were much like the American flags that we raise at our rallies. And then they indeed had their chance, just like any good political rally. Instead of "Yes, we can," or "Yes, we will," their chant was "Hosanna," which means, roughly translated, "Save us now." Yes, most of the people there on Palm Sunday that day were hoping that Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem meant salvation from the thing that they considered the greatest evil of their day. They hoped that Jesus arriving in Jerusalem meant that the Romans would be leaving. That's definitely one of the things that these palms, we might even call them freedom palms, were being swayed for. Their chance of salvation no doubt also gave this message that they were ready for Rome to leave. And if all of those other things they were doing didn't get the point across, when they referred to Jesus as the King of Israel, indeed, their plans were made more known. Yes, the people of that day had been waiting for a long time for the king to show up that would be in the great King David's line and who would in their minds once again establish the nation of Israel in the land of Israel. Yes, they hoped Jesus was there to bring salvation from the greatest ill most of them could think about, Roman occupation of the Holy Land. And we should say that not all were as excited. There were those Pharisees watching nearby who were very nervous because they understood that large crowds gathered around a man being called king would no doubt draw the attention of those Romans. And the Pharisees had decided that they would simply be peaceful and tolerate and appease the Romans rather than try to do anything that might rile them up. But when you think about the whole picture of Palm Sunday, there's sort of one thing that wouldn't have made sense for those awaiting a king to come and establish the nation of Israel once again. You see, Jesus did not look like a king coming to make war on the Romans. It was most clear in his choice of what to ride in on. For Jesus did not ride as a war king would on a war horse, but rather rode into town on a humble and lowly donkey. While the people hoped for rebellion, Jesus rode in on an animal that was synonymous with peace. Oh, not everyone understood it at the time, but this king, Jesus, had indeed come to bring peace and not war. We are reminded that even the disciples didn't understand it all until the end of Passion Week, when their Lord had been glorified. But indeed today, as we look at the Palm Sunday account, we get a beautiful picture of what we truly can rally around. We get a beautiful picture of what all of Holy Week is about. And it is this, that we have a king who comes through humility to bring peace. Yes, Jesus comes not to bring salvation through rebellion and war, but through submission and humility. He comes not to slay the enemy, but to be slain by it. He comes not to draw blood, but to let his blood flow for the sake of all. You know, Jesus was not the only one carried in, so to speak, to Jerusalem on the day of Palm Sunday. Besides literally carrying Jesus, figuratively, that donkey also carried all of the promises of God that he had made to his people for thousands of years. Promises of a good land where God's people could live in perfection. A place where death would be destroyed and tears would be wiped. A place where God and his people could dwell together as one, just like they had done back in Eden before the fall. Yes, those were the promises that rode in on the back of that donkey on Palm Sunday. We might stop to ask, are the promises that we hear today on this Palm Sunday like the promises that we hear at political rallies? Are they the kind that stir the spirit but often never come to be? Is Palm Sunday, just like every other political rally there's ever been, full of excitement and people and chants, but empty of the power to produce the things it speaks about? Well, today we gather to say thankfully, the answer is no. The promises given on Palm Sunday are not like those given at political rallies. And oh, that would be easy just to claim. But how is it that we truly know that the promises of God are any different than the promises made by politicians? Well, Palm Sunday itself gives us the proof that the promises of God indeed do find their way into reality. After all, it was almost 500 years before this event that Zechariah the prophet had said that one day a king would ride in on a donkey, humble and lowly. It was also about 500 years before this event that Daniel had prophesied that right around this time of Holy Week, finally the Messiah would come. And when he came, he would be revealed as a prince, a king, a ruler. Yes, Palm Sunday itself confirmed the fact that God's promises indeed are kept, that his word is as good as gold. And Palm Sunday is just the latest occurrence of this happening. For indeed, as we read through the scriptures, we see all the words of God coming into their fulfillment. Sometimes immediately after God had spoken, and other times many years, if not centuries, after God had spoken them. But time and time again, God proves himself to be the God of promises kept. And as we walk through this Holy Week, we will again be impressed time and time again how the events of Holy Week are the fulfillment of things that God had spoken hundreds of years before. We will watch as Jesus breaks bread and offers his blood as the seal of the new covenant that the prophet Jeremiah had spoken of many, many years before. We will watch as the suffering servant is beaten and goes towards his death like a sheep getting ready to be slaughtered, just like the prophet Isaiah had prophesied many, many years before. We will hear as words spoken by the great King David in the Psalms find their ultimate meaning as they flow from Jesus' lips on the cross. And then finally, we will watch as the lesson of Jonah is made real, that the Son of Man would only be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, and then would rise. And as we go through this week, may indeed each of these things confirm in us this fact, this belief, that God is the God of promises kept. For when we realize that today, then we can join the crowd. We can join in singing our praise of Jesus, waving our palm branches, joining the chant of "Save us now, Hosanna." Yes, indeed, we can do that and be truthfully joyful in doing so, because we know that this is not like the political rallies that we see in our day, but this is a rally around Jesus who brings all things into being. Yes, we join this crowd today chanting, because we know that the promises that were just made to Emma and to Weston, and the promises that have been made to each one of us, will indeed not remain in the realm of promises made, but will become promises kept. Promises of a good land, where God's people can live in perfection, a place where death is destroyed and tears are dried up, a place where God and his people can dwell together as one, just like they did many days ago in Eden before the fall. Yes, those were the promises that rode in on the back of that donkey into the streets of Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. And we leave here today knowing those promises have not only been made, but they have been and they will be. Promises kept. Amen.